Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that have been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Good morning and welcome to Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, business positioning strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 70 countries, such as the United States, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, Malaysia, India, Norway, Sweden, UK. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that has changed our lives and how we use that to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network, Tuesday through Friday. Join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community, and never miss an episode by subscribing to Life Transformation Radio, wherever you're comfortable listening to shows. We're available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, the Himalaya app, and the Google Play Music app for Android. So subscribe wherever you're comfortable listening to shows. On the show, I bring on entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, other podcasters, and authors who are amazing at what they do and are having an impact in the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of the guests that I bring on the show, this is a live show, so call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. And with that, please help me welcome to the show my guest, Nick Murphy. Nick, welcome to Life Transformation Radio.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Man, I'm super, super pumped to have you on the show. You have an amazing podcast, and you've been on a couple of my friends' shows, and so I've heard your brilliance, and I have, you know, followed you on LinkedIn and all online, and even followed your career for a little bit. So this is, for me, like a fan moment. But we get to talk about things that we absolutely love to do in coaching and being an author and, you know, making people a high achiever. So this is super cool for me.
That's awesome. I appreciate it. I usually like to set the bar a little lower than that, but it's very nice of you to say all those wonderful things. I'll try to live up to it. Thank you.
Oh, awesome, man. So the title of this episode is Turning Daydreamers into High Achievers with former NFL player Nick Murphy. As a former NFL player turned serial entrepreneur, Nick Murphy knows discipline, ambition, and self-motivation. He knows what it takes to succeed. Today, he coaches people to apply those same principles to win in the game of life. Nick inspires people into action through his best-selling book, podcast, public speaking, mini camps, and digital courses. Nick turns daydreamers into high achievers. If you aspire to live life on your terms and you're ready to build a career that sends your heart soaring, you've found your guide. Break out of the job for money trap and unbox your inner entrepreneur today. The website, nickmurphy.io. It's right there in the show notes. Join him on Instagram, LinkedIn, and read his book, his best-selling book, Unboxed, the unfiltered guide to creating the career right there on Amazon. Get the book today. So Nick, the first question that I have to ask is why? What is your deep why for what you do?
A lot of it is just this belief that we only live once and that we should stop living in fear and stop being afraid or anxious or scared of what other people might think, scared of failing, being uncomfortable, and really step into our own brilliance. And I think, I'm trying to do my best to show people a way where we don't have to choose between success from within a cubicle or risking it all, hoping to chase freedom and maybe fall flat on our face. I'm really trying to help people create lifestyle businesses and companies that fit into their life, that they're doing something that they love with whom they want, where they want, when they want, on their terms. And so there's absolutely no separation between work and family and life and balance. You're integrating something that speaks to you, that you're uniquely positioned to do, and you're doing it with the intention to serve others. And I think if you can do that while still being present for your family, taking care of your health, you know, not putting your head down until you're 30 and looking up and wondering how you got fat and out of shape and addicted to drugs and alcohol, there's a better way to do it. So I think just showing people that there is another path besides the corporate world, or just go start a business and try to get $100 million exit. There's somewhere in the middle, and we're in a unique place in time to be able to take advantage of that. So that's really kind of my why, is just helping people create what they think is perfect. And I say all the time, like, you really can have it all. You don't have to pick and choose. And we've been conditioned to think that we have to.
Perfect. I like that. And what really stuck out was the fact that you said we're living against people's opinions, which are just, I mean, how many times have you seen it where we're supposed to be living up to someone's expectations, but we're not living up to our own potential?
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, I don't understand. I can't remember exactly what the meme is, the quote, but it's something about you've got to be okay with who you see in the mirror, because it's the only person you're guaranteed to spend your entire life with. And so many times we're doing things because other people think we should, or we're told we should, or that's what we think success means. And, you know, we get too far down the path, and then it's this whole idea of a sunk cost fallacy. We're like, well, I'm so far down this road, I don't have any alternative. Like, I can't just quit now and do something different. I can't change. Even if I'm miserable, I have to keep going because I'm, you know, this many years in, or I have this number of degrees, or I've got this kind of experience. And at the end of the day, that's complete and total BS. People shift and pivot and change and adapt and grow all the time. And I think the moment we stop trying to do that and stop looking for what makes us happy and what fulfills us is the day we start to die. And I don't think we should do that. We've got one life to live, as far as I know, and let's maximize it the way we want to, and help as many people as we can along the way.
Love it. Absolutely correct. I'm curious about your why for the NFL. Did you always want to be an NFL player, or how did that come about?
I always wanted to be a pro athlete. I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, playing ice hockey and baseball. So at the beginning of time, I guess, as early as I can remember, I wanted to be a pro athlete, but it was baseball, and then it shifted to soccer. And then I went to a soccer camp at Creighton and realized how big the nets are in Division I soccer, and went back and decided to continue playing football in high school, and became a punter really as a senior in high school, basically because our team was looking for a backup. And I said, I'll try it. So I was a goalie in soccer, and kicking a ball out of your hands, not that terribly different. And that turned out to be a really good decision. So ended up doing that for a year and going to Arizona State. And I was like, all right, well, I'm starting on this Division I major Power 5 conference team, and I'm leading or among the leaders in the conference, and hey, maybe there's something here. And so I just got really serious about trying to make it in the NFL, and at least make it to the NFL, and was able to make that happen. So it was cool.
Very cool, man. Going from the NFL to the serial entrepreneurship and to what you're doing now, talk about the transformation that has. I'm curious if, because of my military background, there's a lot of anxiety and stress and some depression that comes from transitioning from a military career to the outside. So it's almost like you've lost your brotherhood. You've lost your sense of identity and who you are. And now you're struggling to kind of find that. Is there similarities that you've seen when people are, when the players are done with their career?
Yeah, there's a ton of similarities. Obviously, what you guys do in the military is far more significant and important for all of us than what we do to entertain people and play a game. So I think, we get the benefit of being part of that conversation, when in reality, we're just, we're not doing anything nearly as important. But there's a lot of similarities in terms of just the day-to-day. I think whether you're in the military or whether you're playing pro sports, it's, what you do matters. It's exciting. It's important. Mm-hmm. It's new. And there's people watching, and there's massive, major consequences. depending on your role in the military or kind of where you are, where you're stationed, what's going on in the world. But I mean, one of the things I remember feeling when I came out of the league was you miss the stage and you miss being out there, and you know, you got the flyovers and 80,000 people and the anthem, and it's like, it's game time. Everybody's watching and you can't replace that. It's really, really hard to replace that. You go into the corporate world and you're doing the mundane things of, like, I was in sales. So you're cold calling and trying to set appointments, and then you're going to a meeting and it's like, this is so damn boring by comparison. And so it was just, I think that's what you're searching for. You're searching for that excitement and that kind of high that you get. And it's hard. I think that's why a lot of people do get depressed and can turn to other things to put themselves back in a place where it's exciting and fun. And, you know, that's hard to find. So it's a super unique experience. A lot of people are listening, probably having absolutely no idea what we're talking about, but if you've been there, if you've experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. It's really hard to find in the civilian world, I'll call it.
Yep. Oh yeah. I know for military, you know, we're on the road sometimes, like in 2008, you know, I was gone 228 days. And I remember getting off of one plane, getting onto another, and never seeing the family. I mean, we come home and then we're gone again, and then come on. It just depends on the job. You know, some guys haven't deployed in a long time. It's been 4 or 5 or 6 years since they deployed. There's some guys who deploy every 18 months, you know, so it just really depends on the job. But I will say, from a lot of my friends who have retired, it's the slowness of it all. You know, in the military, everything's so fast paced and so high energy, and we're on the road and we're doing these things, and, you know, and we're training and we're working, and all of a sudden you retire and you're like, okay, need some excitement. Like, this is really like, there's like a lull in battle, you know, like, this kind of sucks, you know? And, what I've noticed is that people get bored really easy. Then they get inside their own head. And that's when the opinions and the stress and everything else from everybody starts coming down on you, because you're supposed to be this, you know, this hero, this guy, this, you know, you were the focal point for a while. And now it's like, no one's talking about you. No one's, you know, congratulating you anymore. No one's, you know, coming up to you and like, man, thank you so much. And it's like that past life is gone. Like, now what? Now what? But you did that. Yeah. You have the now what now. You know what I mean? Like, you're doing it now. So talk about that.
Yeah, it is hard,
that.
Though, I think, because so many people have, you know, we have our identity wrapped up in what we do. And then when people start talking about, you know, whether it's coming out of the military or coming out of sports, like, oh, you know, you were, like, you start hearing about yourself in the past tense and you're like 30. I was 26 when I got done playing football. I was like, what do you mean I was? Like, I haven't even really started yet. Like, that went longer as a game than it did for most people, but that doesn't define who I am or what I did or what I'm capable of. And so I think hearing people, if you're not really self-aware and really ahead of that, and have some people to kind of remind you that that's just one part, and now you can take the benefits of that and what you learned and turn it into something great. But it's hard to hear people talk about your career in the past tense when you're in your 20s. I mean, that's really difficult to deal with.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. Talk about a transformational moment in your life that has changed your life, that has also put you on the path to what you're doing now.
It's going to sound cheesy and cliche, but honestly, having kids, you know,
awesome.
I had a successful corporate career. Yeah. I've got 5, you know, 4 boys and a girl. So it's, there's a litter of them. And, it's why I'm in the business I'm in. It's why I do the job I do. And it's why I kind of coach people who want to find a way to make that work. We talk a lot about work-life balance. You know, you're hearing more about work-life integration, but at the end of the day, if you don't control your time, if a company controls 40, 50 hours of your week and 100% of your income, how much freedom do you really have to create something that works? So, you know, you can be successful in your career and still fail at life. And you see a lot of people who are high achievers, who are in the C-suite, who might have a lot of money and might have a job title, but, you know, their wife hates them, their kids don't know them, or they're lonely and divorced. And it's just, I needed to find a way. I was not willing to sacrifice time with my kids and being able to go to their baseball games or whatever it is, at the expense of, you know, I'd rather make $75,000 less if I was going to stay in the corporate world and have ultimate flexibility, than make more money and be gone all the time. And so I had to, almost out of necessity, based on my own kind of principles and drawing a line in the sand, that, you know, this is what I'm about, find a way to create a career on my terms, which is why, you know, that's part of the subtitle of the book. But I was going to make this amount of money. I was going to do it this way. I was never going to have an office. I was never going to have a boss, and I had to go figure it out. And so what makes me, I think, a good coach and somebody who can help people get into that was I made every freaking mistake you can make. I mean, I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars of my money and of other people's money and of revenue learning the hard way how not to do things. And
yeah,
for me, that transformational moment, I guess, if you had to isolate it, was having a kid, having that massive shift in perspective and sitting back and going, this track I'm on only goes into like mid-management, and that means more people and more travel and more meetings, probably not a whole lot more money and a whole lot more BS that I don't want to deal with. And so I walked away in 2015 from almost 200K in corporate money and said, screw it, I'm going to figure it out. And I did.
Awesome. The one thing that I know to be true is that you have to be true to yourself first. And it sounds like you're pretty self-aware, because I know a couple of people that have gotten out of the military, gone into, you know, a corporate suit wearing, you know, and they hate it. They like, this sucks. Mm-hmm. And so, like you said, man, there's a lot of meetings. There's a lot of, you know, especially if you're like an HR, you're like a, I don't know, like a referee sometimes. People doing stupid stuff, you know. And it's like what? Like, do I really want to be the leave it to Beavers? Do I want to really be Nick at Night where I come home and go, honey, I'm home. And then, you know, dinner's on the table waiting for me. And like, do I really want, you know? So a lot of my friends that are veterans have done the same thing, same exact thing. I know a guy who was making over 150K and he's like, I'm out. Like, I can't, this isn't me, you know? And he went down to building his own business, and now he's almost at or just about over what he was doing before, you know, in a couple years. So I think you got to be self-aware. And I think that when you draw the line, like you said, and it's like, I'm not sacrificing my wife and kids, I'm not sacrificing, you know, my happiness, I think that you get to a place of acceptance. And it sounds like you've done well, very well for yourself after knowing, like, this is it. This is the line I'm not willing to cross.
It goes back to not living for other people. Like, I define what success is for me. And success for me is my kids,
huge,
you know, saying dad, you know, before they say mom, most times. it's sometimes sometimes I kind of complain about it, but I'm like, you know, she's right there. You could ask somebody else, but I love it. And I'm around and I'm involved. And, you know, to me, that's success. Sure, I still need to provide. Sure, I have a lifestyle I want to, you know, maintain and improve. And I have, you know, you don't get to be a pro athlete by not having big aspirations and chasing big goals. So I have a lot of big goals that I haven't even touched yet. But I chose how I was going to define success, and success to me wasn't more money than anybody I knew, or, you know, build the biggest business or have the biggest office in a corporate world. It wasn't any of that. It was, you know, make 150 to 500 on my terms while working from my kitchen. And if I take my foot off the gas for a week in the summer because we're going on vacation, nothing changes.
Yep.
And how do I, what I've tried to create. And that's what I help people create today. So if that's, you know, talking to those listeners, if that is speaking to you in any way, or if you understand what I'm talking about and you want that, that's really what my programs and my coaching are all about.
I love it. What stands out right now in the entrepreneur world are these Facebookpreneurs and wantapreneurs and sell. But that doesn't seem like I looked at your post, I looked at, you know, everything that you do, and that's not you. What do you think differentiates you from everybody else who's coming in right now going, oh, buy my stuff, and this pushy, salesy, like, the landscape in entrepreneurship right now is like, hurry up and peddle these products, right?
Yeah.
And I see, like, you ever got the LinkedIn messages? Like, for me, as a podcaster, LinkedIn messages, it's ridiculous. Like I get a broken English LinkedIn message from some guy, and, you know, overseas, who's like, I get you on iTunes and podcasts. And like, I'm like, what? No, go away. No,
I finally started getting snarky with some of those, because not only that, but they'll put you on templates to be like, hey, you know, we,
Yep.
We haven't been able to connect. Or like, no, I don't know if I can say it on the internet. But anyway, like, no joke, we haven't connected because I haven't responded to your templated message because it's not targeting me. And so
right.
I can't really deal with that.
No. You know, I call them Facebookpreneurs because I know for a fact that two of the people that just happens to, I see a lot of their posts, they talk about being this amazing entrepreneur. And I'm like, bro, you work a 9-to-5. It bugs me. I don't know why.
In order to do it, I think it's hard. I think we live, you know, I talk about this with some of my friends that are solopreneurs all the time. And how do you toe that line between being authentic, between building a tribe of people that you can really serve and add value to, and also doing what you need to do to sell. And so, you know, we live in a really noisy world. We have to post constantly. We have to put our stuff out there. But I believe in offering value first. And so whether that's, you know, if you're out there in the digital world and you're offering a lead magnet is the marketing term, but something that you're going to give people that's valuable for their email address, and make sure it's valuable and make sure that it speaks to them where they are, and make sure that there's a natural progression from that thing to what your offering is and where they are and where they want to go. So I spend a lot of my time really thinking through who can I benefit the most? Like, who are the people, where are they in their life, where they are? And I articulate kind of my people as successful on paper, but unfulfilled internally. Like, nobody would ever know there's anything going on in their head or their heart that doesn't feel right. Because they're making good money, they've got the house, they've got the family, but they're sick of something or they're missing something. And they're looking for someone to help them take that, you know, create a path from where they are to where they really want to be without risking everything or throwing it all away. And so the content I put out is really around that kind of aspirational identity. Like, you can have it all. Balance isn't good enough. Like, you should be able to integrate. And so, you know, my posting strategy, if you will, is really, who am I talking to? And being really, really clear. And it's taken me, you know, frankly, like, if anybody's followed me for any amount of time, like, it's not something that you come out of the gate with very often and you nail. So I was too broad and I wanted to help everybody. And I know a lot about corporate success and I know a lot about job search because I worked in that world, but that's not what fires me up. I'm not a corporate soldier. I'm not somebody who ever wants to do that. So while I can help those people, that shouldn't be my core message and that shouldn't be what my brand's about. And so kind of the brand refresh that I'm still in the process of going through is getting even more refined on what is a lifestyle business? What is a lifestyle entrepreneur? Who am I talking to? How are you feeling? Where are you? What do you want? And then obviously building products and services and programs that help people get there. And if you do that for long enough, as any successful business owner will tell you, you get to that tipping point where at one point, finally down the road, most of your business becomes referrals because you're serving the right people the right way. And you don't need to be salesy. So, you know, it's kind of my soapbox for a minute. And I had a sales background. I understand activity. I understand numbers. I understand the metrics and the spreadsheets and all that BS. But at the end of the day, I think as we get more automated and as digital and tech takes over pretty much every interaction we have, there's something to be said about somebody who speaks from their heart and tells the truth and is open and honest and does it in a way that isn't always asking for something. Like, you're absolutely right. I'm going to promote my course offering, you know, when I launch a new course, or if I open a new seminar, I'm going to promote that. I have to, it's my job. But my content strategy is not around buy my stuff.
Yep. Yeah. And 100%, I do the same thing, you know, the transparency, the authenticity, you know, who is going to help deliver the value. And what I've learned, because I've built 3 successful businesses while serving in the military. And this month I just launched a 4th one. So the other first 2 were sold and I exited those. No matter what I did in the other businesses, it was always about selling a destination, not the journey, especially with coaching. When I first started back in 2015, what I would do is be like, well, we're going to have these many calls and we're going to do these many things and it's going to be this great, you know, whatever. And they were like, well, I don't know. And finally someone told me, they're like, that's a lot of work. I'm like, well, yeah, it's a lot of work. Like, no, for you. I'm like, no, I love it. Like, I just love the process. I love, you know, the journey of creating and launching and, you know, monetizing and all that. But what I've learned throughout every business I've built was to sell the destination. Where are they going to go? How does that lead magnet help them to get to where they want to go? And I see a lot of done for you, you know, services and products, and I've seen a lot of DIYs and a lot of other things. But the one thing that I know that sells all the time, and you sell without selling, is deliver the value up front, 100%. Deliver the value.
One. I totally agree. Here's one. Speaking of LinkedIn, it literally just buzzed on my watch. So here we go. Ready? This is live, so we're going to do this. Hi, Nick. It seems that I didn't get your attention with my last message. Let me point out some of the ... I'm not going to read this, but like, of course you didn't get my attention because you weren't talking to me. You were talking to someone who had a title or a company. That's not me. So
yep.
It's just I call LinkedIn the most expensive spam engine ever created because that's really how I feel about it. You can build good relationships, but there's so much crap that you really, really have to work hard and be different to build a kind of real relationship on LinkedIn.
100%. I forgot who said this, but there's a quote, and it kind of just reminded me as you were talking about LinkedIn and business, and it says that there is no success with failure in the home. I don't know who – somebody famous had said that, but it just stuck out to me that there is no success with failure in the home. And I know a couple people who are successful in business. They're amazing, and I would pay them whatever amount of money to work with them. However, they've already had 2 divorces, you know? So it's like, I don't know. And so I see that.
Yeah, it's tough. I think, you know, let's be honest, like any high achiever is a hot mess in one area of their life. Usually nobody's perfect, no matter how they appear or what they look like, to the public world. Like everybody has something that they're working on or they should be working on. Or, you know, there's a part of their life that is not, for most people at least, like in balance. And I think that's part of our, that's part of our human nature. Like we have to constantly recalibrate. We have to be self-aware and really take stock of those things. So for me, it's family, my health, and then, you know, maybe it's the athlete in me, but like my stress relief is going to the gym. Like I won't miss. Like I will go even if I'm tired, just because at the end I feel much better. Like my head is clearer, I'm sharper, and I can do my job better. But those are just things I don't sacrifice on. I think a lot of people get hung up. It's funny how much it goes back to doing what we think is successful to other people at the detriment of our own health and well-being. And so constantly recalibrating where we are and being self-aware enough to know, okay, you know, I had to go really heavy at work this month or this quarter because of this thing or a project or a new launch or whatever. But, you know, I know this isn't sustainable and I need to make sure that I'm actively pursuing some kind of balance to balance this out or take time away to perform at your best and also just stay healthy and on task, if you will. So that's really, really important. I think it's not something that people talk about enough, that really successful people do that. But we don't have a conversation about the intention behind that or kind of systems or structures or ways that we have to think about how to do that.
Yeah, 100% agree. Absolutely. Is this something that you talk a lot about on your podcast that you have?
I talk a lot about mindset, a ton about mindset and just what is it that you want, you know, self-awareness. Every interview I do, whether it's when I'm hosting or when I'm guesting, I feel like self-awareness is always, I say all the time, if I could teach my kids 2 skills in life, it would be self-awareness and critical thinking. And if you can do those 2 things, then I'm really not worried because you'll be able to, you know, see what's true and what's not out there in the world and in this, you know, fake news kind of environment that we live in. And you'll be self-aware enough to know like what your strengths and weaknesses are. And if you can do those 2 things, I think you're gonna be able to figure it out if you have some personality and some skill. But self-awareness, mindset, and just being able to think around problems and be a problem solver and be a curious person are things I talk about all the time that are really, really important to being a successful person in business, whether you're in the corporate world or whether you kind of become crazy like us and go the entrepreneur route.
Right. So give us the name of the show, where people can subscribe to it, and a little bit about it.
Actually, as fate would have it, it's about to be redone and relaunched. So like we talked about, there's been a calibration that I keep going through and trying to get more niched and like, who am I really speaking to? What do I want to talk about? And so the new podcast is actually launching next week and it's called Creating a Lifestyle Business or Building a Lifestyle Business. I don't even know the name of my own show yet. Building a Lifestyle Business with Nick Murphy. That'll be out there on iTunes, but check out the website. It's there too. So nickmurphy.io. And there'll be all different kinds of ways to subscribe and cool show notes with timestamps and tweetables and some neat stuff. So building a lifestyle business, what is a lifestyle business is one thing I need to clarify. It's not a term. It's not necessarily a side hustle. It can start as a side hustle, if you will, but it really is a type of business that is usually monetizing something that you know. So it's coaching, it's digital products, it's a services-based business that you can do. We are not trading time for money. So any business where you can go to sleep and wake up in the morning and potentially have some sales or have some orders or have some leads come through, that is a true lifestyle business in my mind, because whether you're vacationing, working, sleeping, eating, working out, you know, you are still making money and you're still telling your story. And so those are the types of businesses that I highlight in the show. And we've got about 20 episodes already taped and some more. So when it does finally launch, it's going to launch with a big batch of really good actionable content for people that are interested in those types of things.
Well, I'm definitely going to subscribe because I'm literally in the midst of building one of those right now. The company that I launched this month is LYB Clothing Inc. And it's an empowerment and affirmation clothing line. We talk a lot about affirmations and how amazing that affirmations can be. And I said, you know, and this has been going on for 2 years. I'm like, man, I'm sick of going to clothing stores and trying to find a shirt or sweater or whatever that like represents who I am. Like, there's no clothes that really like, I mean, we wear sports jerseys because to share our favorite team. We like to root them on. We like, you know, but when it comes to like t-shirts, it's usually like a movie or it says something that we believe in or whatever. Like, you're not going to put something on your body, shirt wise, that isn't something that you like or believe in or whatever. We see crosses, we see, you know, all kinds of these things. So what I wanted to do, I was like, man, the word art on the walls and on jars and everything else is getting big. And so now was the perfect time because of everything that the empower, like 5 years ago, we weren't talking about meditation and the miracle morning and, you know, high achievers. And like, we weren't talking about the things that we're talking about now. So what I did was I just decided to open up an empowerment clothing line for entrepreneurs, speakers, and business owners and put affirmations and what you believe on your shirt, like live your own brand. So it's called LYB, which stands for Live Your Brand. And so instead of living Nike's brand or Reebok's brand or Banana Republic or Abercrombie, why not live your brand? And so that's what I created. So, yeah, I totally get the lifestyle brand.
No, that's awesome. I love that. It's funny. I have a daily text that comes in that I kind of write to myself, and I have a little service that sends me, you know, just random. There's about 10 of them that kind of cycle through, and one of them is, are you living your brand today? And just a constant reminder me that is, you know, are you living what you talk about? Are you being present? Are you making time for the stuff that is important? And are you doing it all in a way where if anybody who bought from you or followed you or listens to you would watch you for your entire day without you knowing, would there be anything that didn't make sense? And so it's just for me, I love that. The LYB is something that I believe in. So.
Very cool. That's cool. You have a text. That's awesome. You know, I try to do that with my kids, you know, especially my daughter, like my 12-year-old, she gets like super, like, I don't know what you call it, like embarrassed, I guess. Cause I'm like, yep. You know, I'm like, here's your, you know, affirmations. Like, this is how I think about you. What do you think about you? And she's like, I don't know. And like, and I'm like, stand in front of the mirror and tell yourself that you're beautiful and you're, you know, amazing. And you know, you love yourself and like all that. And she's just like, that's weird. I'm like, well, I mean, this is what you do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My 4-year-old, she knows, she's like, she goes, I'm beautiful. Like, I know this, like I'm beautiful. So I don't know if I'm creating a monster.
No, but you know what it is. It's that your 12-year-old's had enough conditions to feel like that saying something like that is not natural and it's uncomfortable. And your 4-year-old is still young enough and innocent enough to just say like, yeah, that's cool. Nobody's ever told me otherwise. I've never been in a place where I was made to feel anything different than that. So let's do this.
And yeah,
I mean, that's how quick it happens. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's do this. Let's do a shameless plug. You can plug friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, programs, products, and services, whatever it is that you want the audience to know and to do. Shameless plug moment. Go.
I'm really like right now, and I know the whole deal about building your tribe on rented land or anything like that, but I'm big on Instagram right now. I'm really trying to get to that 10,000 follower mark so that I can enable swipe up and make it really easy to, when I say something that triggers where you are, like you can access that content without having to come off your phone or do anything weird. So follow me on Instagram for sure. It's just nickmurphy.io on Instagram. And then you'll find, you know, Linktree and links to the website and all that fun stuff. That's kind of my big ask, I guess. Otherwise, if you're interested in the book, it's called Unbox, an Unfiltered Guide to Creating a Career on Your Terms. Goes through, that's available on Amazon, by the way. And it goes through basically why we're unfulfilled at work, like chronically so. 85% of people are unengaged or actively disengaged. Why that might be, kind of offer my own kind of thesis statement on what's incongruent about capitalism today and who we are as humans. And then the second part of the book is a 3-step guide to creating that career on your terms. And it starts with putting your corporate career to work for you. So if you're somebody who's feeling unfulfilled, you're not quite sure you want to jump out, that section of the book will help. And then it goes into kind of diversify by creating a side hustle. And ultimately, step 3 is have the opportunity, whether you choose to leave your corporate role or not, to truly go out on your own. Because if you're going to be free and have something on your terms, you do own that decision, how long you work, when you stop, if you stop, and you're not going to be dictated to in terms of when your income stops. So that's what Unbox is about. Those would be the two things. Grab the book on Amazon and follow me on Instagram, and Instagram will show you kind of other things as they come up that are probably relevant to you if you're into the whole solopreneur lifestyle business game.
Love it. Love it. And thank you for sharing that. Let us leave the audience with one nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action.
Oh, geez, put me on the spot, live radio. let's see. There's a quote that I keep on my desk. It's the only quote that I have, and it's this. If you limit your choices only to what seems possible or reasonable, you disconnect yourself from what you truly want, and all that's left is compromise. And that, if I were to sum up my kind of worldview, forget what's possible, forget what's reasonable, forget what you see proof of. What is it that you want? Why does that matter? What are your pillars that you want to build your life on? And how can you create a way to monetize what you care about on your terms, the way you want to, when you want to? And that can be a really overwhelming thing. But if you just open yourself up to the possibility that you can have it, there are people like me that help you with some of the tactics of getting started and helping you find that path and setting you down it and then supporting you in those first couple of years that are really critical. So that's what my program does, but that's it. I'm big on taking action. One thing I say all the time is that you can't sit in your driveway and wait for every light on your journey to turn green, or you're never going to leave. And a lot of the answers that we find, we don't find until we're on the path. So if you're waiting for that perfect time, you know, there's never the perfect time to get married or to have kids or to start a business. You could always have more money, more, you know, something could always be different, quote, better. And the same is true with starting a business and creating a life on your terms. So you do deserve it. You absolutely can't have it all. And there's people like me out there that can help you create something that's custom to you and your life that gets you there. So you just it's on you to make that decision and get ready, but you can do it. I promise.
That's amazing. He said, if you're in your driveway waiting for the light to turn green, you're never going to go anywhere. I love that.
Imagine, I don't care if you're going to the grocery store. Like, wait, is every single light I might hit green? Like, is there no other cars on the road? Like, how do I make absolutely sure I can get there really easily? You can't.
Right.
And until you start down the road, you're going to figure it out.
That's amazing. And you're right. There is no perfect time, you know, to start anything. It just so happened, you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, when I started this one, I was like, I just decided that now is the time. You know, is it the perfect time? I don't know. We're going to find out. It's either going to be a failure or a success. So it's like, well, I think once you get out of the fear of failure and be like, look, I'm just going to do it. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, then it's whatever. But I don't feel like I'd be judged by anybody anyways, because I'm not even listening to them. You know, I'm listening to what I know. Being an entrepreneur since 2004, you know, 15 years of entrepreneurship has taught me, look, man, it's either going to be a failure or a success. It's either going to work or it's not. And if it doesn't work, then you just move on to something else. If it works, then double down on it.
Yeah, I think that's where football helped me, right? Like, I was a punter. There's no, you could be a backup and not have a job, or, you know, you're 33rd best in the world and be unemployed. There's only 32 jobs in the entire planet. And I was cut seven times, you know, by the time I was 26. So, like, all right, I can start over. I can reinvent myself. That's actually comfortable. It doesn't bother me a bit. And one of the things that I've said for a lot of times that some people really get hit. So I'm going to make sure I say it here. And it's just that I've always had a much bigger fear of regret than I do of failure. So
yes. Oh, that's
laying on my deathbed going, man, I really wish I would have taken that chance. Or what if I'd have just done this? Or what if I'd have gone here? I don't want that. If I went there and I tried and it didn't work, cool. I guarantee I'm going to learn something in that experience that's going to make me successful elsewhere. And I do not believe in staying stagnant and playing small. And I don't think anybody should.
Yeah, 100% agree. Man, I want to thank you for your time. I know you're a busy guy. It's just an honor to have a conversation with you. And, you know, I've learned a lot about you, you know, leading up to the show. And I look forward to, you know, staying connected and, you know, seeing where things go.
Likewise. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, man. You're welcome. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, if anything resonated with this conversation between Nick and I, please connect with him at his website, nickmurphy.io. Go to Instagram, follow him on Instagram, and check out what he's doing on LinkedIn. You can also go to Amazon and look up Unboxed. Get the book. It will change your life. As I close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.